Hey guys, before we get into the episode, you all know I'm a huge fan of fashion, and I have been ever since I was a little girl. And my first job, by the way, was actually at Macy's. And my love for fashion began when I started there because I worked in the fragrance department, but of course, my eye was always on the clothes and the makeup and everything related to style. But here's the thing, my relationship with Macy's didn't end once my days of asking people walking by if they wanted to sample the latest scents came to an end. Nearly 20 years later, I still find myself choosing Macy's time and time again for literally everything. It's become a really beautiful full circle moment that they've been such amazing supporters of our show for so long. And when it comes to shopping, they have everything you need. Whether I need a last minute outfit or Kevin needs a last minute outfit for our friend's wedding, we always head to Macy's. They've got us covered. So if you're in need of some retail therapy, perhaps, or looking to spruce up your home or your lifestyle, check out Macy's, friends. I've curated a list of some of my favorite items that have helped me upgrade so many parts of my life, really my fashion the most, but of course home and baby and so much more. So check the link in the description and happy shopping, Hill Squad.
I like to say that hair is a woman's best accessory. And thanks to my friends at Way, they make it possible to have good hair days every day. Let me tell you, Way's hair oil has become a game changer in my hair care routine. So if you're ready to have good hair days every single day, you got to check out Way. Head over to The Way, theouai.com to check out their products. And here's a little treat for you guys. Use the promo code Heel Squad for 15% off your purchase. Yep, The Way, theouai.com, promo code Heel Squad for 15% off.
I'm on a journey to heal and get better in all areas of life, and I want to do it with you. Welcome to Heal Squad by Maria Menounos, where we improve and heal all parts of our lives, most importantly, our health. Heal Squad by Maria Menounos, your life improvement series starts now.
Hey everyone, welcome to Heal Squad with Maria Menounos. And yes, as you can hear in my voice, it is not Maria Menounos. It's Mr. Maria Menounos here, sitting in as the backup quarterback on this Monday. And really excited about today's guest who's become a friend, but also someone you may know. He participated on the Big Brother franchise series, but also he's on The Challenge. However, one of the main reasons why I wanted him to come in addition to all that, was the fact that, you know, he's been on the spectrum, he's had autism, but he's found ways to manage it and become very, very successful. And I feel where this is something that many people, individuals, and families are dealing with. I think there's going to be a lot of great takeaway. Also want to say, I am with Roxy Schreier, and many of you from the Heal Squad Better Together Universe know Roxy, because Roxy's been with me for how many years now, Roxy?
14?
14.
I think it's that long.
14 wonderful years.
Why do you sound sarcastic?
No, I'm saying it's been wonderful. It's been amazing. But Roxy, who is over at AfterBuzz TV, happens to be our Big Brother specialist. So
I used to cover The Challenge, too.
And you cover The Challenge, too.
Yeah. So. You're right in my wheelhouse. But I'm a huge diehard Big Brother girl. I used to watch it with my mom, my sister. We were just everything.
You've watched it that long?
Yeah. Yeah.
How long has it been on the air, Big Brother?
Since 99, I think, or yeah. 2000.
Oh, my God. Wait. Yeah. So
season 25, they just finished.
Yeah. How old are you now, Kai?
I'm 32.
32?
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Awesome. So you guys were kids, like little kids.
Yeah. Well, I didn't start it back then.
Yeah.
I binged a few seasons before,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I became a fan like starting with season 20. So that was probably 3 years before I got on, because I was season 23. But literally my best friend, he tried to get me to watch the show for a solid decade. And I was like, I don't watch reality TV. I'm good. I'd never watched any reality TV. And I just said no for like, 7, 8 years. And then finally I was like, I'll check it out. What day does it come on? He's like, 3 days a week. I was like, 3 days a week? Like, I can't.
It is a big investment.
That's a lot. And so, but the first episode I watched, I was hooked. I was like, oh wait, this is a game. And immediately just started taking notes. Like that week, the very first week I started, I was like, I want to play this. This looks awesome. And then I started applying. And then 3 years later, I got on. And it was a crazy time.
Kev, do you know that he is part of the number one greatest alliance in all of Big Brother history? Like, no comparison.
Really?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, the number one. They're called the Cookout. That by far and away, like if you ask any Big Brother fan, that's
why
the
are they?
One
why is the Cookout number one?
Well, I mean, I could talk about that. I always say the Cookout's probably the only thing that I don't really feel humble about because it was. People are always like, "Oh, that was very impressive what you guys did," because we essentially made it all the way to the end of the game, fully intact. We started on day one, and so there's never been an alliance started on the first day of more than two people that made it all the way to the end of the show without losing a single member, and we had six people, and it was hard. It was challenging, but I think the reason we were able to do it is because every alliance in the show is based on someone trying to move their individual game forward. And for us, we started the alliance. It was the first time that they had six black people in the house at the same time. And we were like, there had been, I think, two black players in the 22 seasons before us. They had two black
I'm
players.
I'm sorry to laugh. Yeah. That's like such a joke.
No, not two players, period. They had two season. Black players who made it past the halfway point.
Okay. In the history of the show, that is still funny.
Yeah, it Sorry. Is. No. You had 22 seasons. You had two black people make it past the halfway point. So we were like,
no one ever won.
So I'm, not even close.
I mean, of course not. Yeah. We can't have that.
It was just, so we were like, all right, you know what? Let's work together and not make this about myself. Let's make it about this, all of us together and us working together. So. So we started working together in secret, and we literally, because you know, it's very easy to see. You'd be able to see this alliance very easily. So we never met all six of us for 50 something days. We would only meet like two or three at a time, and we'd pass communications that way. And so we were working together in secret for a majority of that time, and we made it all the way to the end. We didn't lose a single member.
I have the chills.
It was unbelievable.
Because Mark's been saying for years, you have to watch. But that's incredible. And what I love, it's so not of today or any day, is the fact that you fought for something greater. I think there's many people today who purport that they're doing things for a greater good, but it's just for likes.
Yeah.
Which likes are amazing. But the fact that you all really were, it seems, came together to say it's not about any one of us winning. It's really about let's be a team and get past this halfway mark and let's disrupt this system and make history.
And in a tangible way, like because there was multiple times where a couple of us had to make decisions that were definitely against our individual interest. And that's not the game. The game there's only one winner. So typically, if you have an opportunity to move forward your individual interest, that's what you do. But a couple of us had opportunities to do that, and we chose not to. And it was very meaningful. And I always say too, like, cause I didn't win, I came in fourth. But it was, I feel like my loss was probably much easier to bear than a lot of people on the show because we were able to accomplish something that felt like such a, bigger than myself win. So that was, something I'm very appreciative and grateful for.
It's interesting to hear you say that because at the time it's not how it seemed that you felt.
You
can tell Kev a little bit about this, but I'm sure that is in hindsight is 2020 that you feel really good about it. But he was also part of one of the most controversial moments of the season because he was very upset to be let go fourth.
How old were you at the time, Kai?
I'm 30. I turned 30 in the house. But that's actually funny because that also lends itself to a little bit of my experience. So you mentioned me having autism diagnosis. I didn't get that until after Big Brother. So I'm 30 years old, late diagnosis, and that came from Big Brother because you have 24/7 live feeds on the show. For those of you who don't know, there's like cameras and you're mic'd, you're trapped in this house for the whole summer. And so it's essentially, in 3 months of people observing you, and all you can do is interact with each other. You can barely go outside. There's no windows, so you're just in the house talking or by yourself. So people are watching you, and people watch the show, very intently. They watch live feeds. So afterwards, I had family members as well as a bunch of strangers that reached out and were like, "Hey, you remind me of like my brother or my cousin or my son or myself or whatever. Have you ever talked to any specialists about getting an autism diagnosis?" And it had never occurred to me. It never occurred to anyone in my family. I was just different. And then so I did get an ADHD diagnosis in college, but But yeah, nothing else besides that. So then I ended up getting, and part of it was part of my eviction, the exit, because I was talking in interviews and there, and that's what I'm asked often. It's like, oh, it looked like you're so upset, or you're goading him on or whatever to like fight and stuff. And like, that wasn't my experience at all. In the moment, I literally, I even like laugh at one point and people are like, oh yeah, he's trying to incite him to like fight. And I was like, I was laughing because I was like, this is a weird experience. Like, why is he getting upset? Because in my head, I didn't even fully understand why he was getting upset. And then I watch it back and then I have a lot of conversations and then I have a much better grasp on, you know, how I was being disrespectful to him. And we had conversation because like the cookout, we're family now. So it's like, but we
all
had to talk through
you?
That. Yeah, yeah, all six of us. Yeah, we have a group chat. We talk every day. X actually sent me a really nice message because of the challenge performance that I just had. So that was really cool. But yeah, but at the time, it was crazy to have, and that's a lot of, that was a highlight of a lot of how my life has gone. My life has gone, humans tend to learn social behaviors through osmosis. And osmosis is like, just by being around it, by experiencing it, you just kind of take it in. A lot of people on the spectrum, and particularly for myself, learn through trial and error. So it's very much like observing responses to things that I do and say, and then being like, oh, okay, wait, people don't like this. So like sometimes I've even literally taken notes like, all right, everyone seems to have an issue with this. Or I remember I was in college and this girl was telling me about, and like I would always watch, like, and this was before I got diagnosed. I would just try and, I was like, oh, I want to learn how to interact with people. And I started watching TED Talks and videos about interacting with people and communication in general, because that was like my major, and or the part of the umbrella of my major. And I was watching these videos and one was talking about apologies, and he said,
when you're on the go 24/7 like me, guys, finding ways to make life easier is so important for my health and sanity. And that's exactly what my friends at Macy's do for me. From working there as a teenager to now going to them for so many of my daily essentials, it's been my go-to for so many years. And having everything in one place is such a time saver for me. With being a first-time mom for a while now, as you know, I've had plenty of those, and being able to rely on them for all the things has been amazing. Plus, having everything in one place has made being a new mom just a little bit easier for me. So I know we're all focusing on our families, our health, hopefully, our jobs and everything in between, but it's time to make your life a little easier. And to help you out, I've curated all of my essentials from Macy's for you and the whole fam. All the details are in the show notes below, or you can just click the link in the description to get your hands on them too. I have some new picks on there. This little bomber jacket, this little black dress. You're gonna love it. All right, friends, let's talk about something we all do. Snack. Trust me, I've definitely overindulged in the past, but as you know, I am focused on my health these days, and I think I found the healthier snack that you don't have to lose out on the flavor, and it's definitely become my go-to. It first came into the house because of Kevin. He was obsessed with Wonderful Pistachios, and then I got addicted, and now it's in my travel bag. I don't leave home without it. It's in our glove compartments because they don't melt. Right now, my favorite flavor is the sweet chili flavor. It feels like some of the naughtier kind of snacks I used to use, where I used to lick my fingers after. Now I lick them and I feel safer. Plus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. That's crazy, guys. So if you're looking for the perfect snack, trust me and head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com to snag a bag of Wonderful Pistachios. You're gonna love them.
With summer upon us, friends, hair is going to be even more important. Yes, we've got humidity, we've got sun, we've got all kinds of things. And sometimes it's hard to find the right shampoo for your hair. Everyone's hair is so different, and there's no one-size-fits-all solution. That's why I love Way. They have different shampoos depending on your hair type. Want volume? Fine hair and conditioner will give you that extra oomph you need. If you need some moisture and a little extra bounce, find your happy medium with medium shampoo and conditioner. And for my peeps with thick hair like me, give your hair the hydration it deserves with thick hair shampoo and conditioner. Plus, you guys already know Way carries some of my favorite hair care products I use all the time, whether it's the leave-in conditioner, which is my go-to, or the hair oil. They give my hair this hydrating refresh all summer long. Wash your way to healthier hair. See what I did there? with shampoos and conditioners made just for you. Go to TheWay, TheOuai.com. Use the code HEALSQUAD for 15% off your entire purchase. That's TheWay.com, TheOuai.com. Use the code HEALSQUAD. Your hair deserves it.
You know, you're not supposed to apologize for things that aren't your fault. And I was like, oh, okay, good to know. So I took that note down. And then I was talking to this girl, and she was telling me about how her dad had passed away. And I was like, oh, I'd normally say sorry, but I know you're not supposed to apologize for things that aren't your fault. And then I just continued the conversation. And then later on, like, we became friends, and she was like, yeah, that was really messed up when you said it. I was like, oh, what? That was weird? Okay, make that note. Like, and that's a lot of my reactions is, like, just learning through very consciously. And I didn't know how many things are subconscious for people that they, all their interactions, all of the, even like when people talk about like gut feelings. So to give you an example, this I didn't know was helpful for people to understand what it can be like for a lot of people on the spectrum is like gut feelings aren't a thing because we're hyper conscious. And so everyone on the spectrum is gonna have a different experience, but my experience is being hyper conscious of things that we take in. So a gut feeling isn't really like a magic feeling. Gut feeling is your body, your brain picking up on a lot of different things, like whether it's anything from pheromones to colors, to sounds, to tones, all those things. So, but humans just describe it as gut feeling. Me, I'm describing it as the literal thing that's happening. I'm like, oh, because this person is wearing a yellow shirt and they're doing this and they're saying this and all this other context, that's why I feel X. And so, yeah, there's a lot to it.
So the awareness I feel like the awareness, once it came on your radar, was the first thing to help you. But it seems like you've put practices into place that I've never heard of. I guess I've never gone this deep with people who are on the spectrum. Unfortunately, I think there's a stigma.
Definitely.
Right? And so people will say, oh, don't mind them. They're on the spectrum.
Yes.
And so then you just say, okay, and that's it. You just let them go about and do whatever. But what I think is interesting here is the fact that you leaned into it. And I love the idea that you're taking notes and you're learning and working around it. Is that good advice to give to someone else in your situation?
I mean, I think learning more about oneself is probably good for everybody. But yeah, mm-hmm. especially, you know, they're talking about anywhere from 2% to like 2.5% of the population being on the spectrum. And so there's a lot of people learning more about it. And it's going to vary. And the tricky part about it is that because the spectrum is not like a line. Like they used to say like high functioning and low functioning, kind of like a spectrum, like a straight line, but it's much more complicated than that. It's more like the graph that I saw that I like is almost like a pie chart with 8 different sections, 8 to 10, depending on who it is, and different aspects, different characteristics. And each individual will have, you know, let's call it for numerical value, like 1 to 100 in each of those 8 sections. So everybody's presentation and experience of being on the spectrum is going to be different. And so understanding more about like how you operate is significant. But the tricky thing in society is that certain individuals that the old terms used to be like high functioning. So like I'd be like someone more high functioning, like people that can handle a lot of their life on their own, without assistance. And so the better you are at that, the less, I don't want to call it excuses, but the less understanding maybe people have towards you when you do something differently. So when you do something different, they're just like, oh, and it's funny when you're around people, like, you know, my family got used to it. I remember even Xavier after Big Brother, I remember he was just like, since we had spent so much time in that house together, he even, in explaining to, you know, he's a very gracious, understanding person, explained like his family and stuff, he's like, he's different. Like I do, like he, even if not in the moment, and later on he's like, oh, I do know that he's different. And so, and that was just the explanation that was used a lot. Like even, I remember when I told my mom about the diagnosis, she was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like there wasn't like a surprise or anything. It was just like, she's like, yeah, I did go and talk to all of your teachers before school and tell them like, hey, he's different and just pay attention to this and this and this, and not think anything of it. And that was the double-edged sword of like not getting diagnosed, is that we didn't have an understanding of a lot of things, and there was probably some negative ways that we approach things. But then also we didn't, I learned a lot of adapting for things. I learned a lot, they call it masking. And the downside is that masking is very exhausting. But
masking is you are
Yeah,
you're masquerading to be someone else.
More or less, yeah. Masking is, yeah, when you basically limit or you know, do more of certain behaviors to present as, you know, quote unquote normal, like neurotypical. And so that is, it's everything. If you ever had a situation where you're like, oh, I feel kind of awkward in this situation, and like, don't be awkward, like, you know, be normal, or don't move my hands. What do I do with my hands? Anything like that? It's kind of like that, but for everything. So it's just like everything from, you know, eye contact to like fidgeting or stim, which usually comes from stimming, which is like, you know, self-soothing stimulation. And that could be repetitive movements. It could be extreme movements.
And is that self-soothing?
It can be, yeah, but okay. It's funny because one of my core like memories that I have incredibly loving, supportive parents, but one of my core memories is the voice in my head of my parents saying, be still, because I would move a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I just learned how to stim, like I noticed I didn't know until later on talking to doctors, in my shoes basically, like instead of rocking back and forth, I like had that somewhat beat out of me, and it would rock my feet back and forth inside of my shoes, or mess with like, you know, a watch strap or something like that, some sort of specific repetitive movement that was harder to be observed because I kept getting in trouble for doing that. But
you've ended up super successful, so I do wonder if, like, okay, I can't relate to this. I will say for my life, I might have been a dreamer, ADD, yeah. Just head in the clouds. So I came up in a time where you got a backhander for that. You know, you're not paying attention. And I look back and, you know, I am now grateful in the respect,
exactly.
Because it made me not just fall back on that. Where I knew other kids that were really brilliant and they got a pass because they were so brilliant. Oh, he's an artist. So they were just allowed to do whatever. And then they have just struggled the rest of their lives with success and being able to be in society and coexist with other people. So I wonder, you know, maybe there was a balance with your parents.
Oh, definitely.
Providing that, you know, being a little tough on you and not just giving into it.
Yeah. Oh no, for sure. I feel like it's weird because I'm so grateful for, in so many ways, for them not knowing, because it just forced us to find solutions. Like, you know, I was fairly nonverbal until I was like five when I started school.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah, and so, but my mom really was like, hey, like we gotta fix this. So then she started after school, like she would bring me with her to like. She was very active in like a lot of community projects and Chamber of Commerce and lots of things. And so she would just bring me and force me to interact with people and continually do that. And so then I did learn how to talk. And then it was funny because I remember in high school, like just being more comfortable talking to adults than like a lot of my peers. And just from forcing and got really comfortable being uncomfortable. And I think that we tend to, you know, give in to someone like, oh, they're shy or they're uncomfortable or whatever it is. And a lot of times people, parents and others, for very loving reasons, are like, okay, well, let's not make them do that. And I definitely think I benefited from having that similar pressure to do that. And then as far as like gifts, like it is... I definitely don't, it's autism spectrum disorder, because something becomes a disorder when it has a significant impact to your life. So like, that's like the difference between someone who gets anxious or gets sad and someone who has anxiety or has depression. It's like, you know, everyone pees, but if you pee 14 times a day or 47 times a day, then all of a sudden that's when something's a disorder, something's going on. So the positive side, though, of having my brain take in so much information all the time, and then also I'm fortunate because not everyone, a lot of people on the spectrum have other mental situation, I can't think of the term right now, have like anxiety or ADHD or something else. And I have ADHD, and that actually combination presents a lot of challenges, but then also presents a lot of benefits because.
As a first-time mom with a baby, I'm always on the go, whether it's running errands, getting my coffee, going to doctor's appointments, or just spending quality time with little Athena. And that's why I rely on Wonderful Pistachios to keep me fueled and ready for anything, no matter where I am. Kevin even keeps a bag stashed in the nursery. You know, for the nighttime hunger moments. Wonderful Pistachios comes in a variety of flavors and sizes, making them the perfect snack to have literally any time, whether I'm enjoying them during a quick break in between taping this show or I'm on the go and it's in the diaper bag. I do carry it in my travel bag and they're in my car. At this point, when I'm leaving the house, I think keys, wallet, Wonderful Pistachios. Bonus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts with 6 grams of protein in every 1 ounce serving. So on top of all that, they keep me feeling satisfied. I'm energized while I'm juggling all this crazy stuff in life. Next time you're looking for a convenient and guilt-free snack, head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com and stock up on your favorite flavors today. Mine is the sweet chili.
My autistic brain processes, takes in a lot of information. So it takes in all the room. It takes in all of the actions and words and movements and all these things in context outside of the situation. And so I find myself in a lot of, but my ADHD brain is fast. So I can take in all the information and process. So I find myself in a lot of conversations where somebody asks something and I'll answer and then they'll say, well, that's not why I asked. And then we'll talk through the conversation for another 10 minutes and find our way to that answer. And then it's just like,
I know the feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like the ADHD brain just can go so fast.
Yes.
And so it's just like, and then, so I think that autistic brain taking things very literally is huge. So it's funny. I was just with one of my friends and she was telling me about, oh yeah, we were in this hotel room at New York. We went to this event in New York and this hotel room was so tiny. She was like, I walked into the door and then I like had to crouch down to get on the bed. And then I had to turn like this to get into the bathroom. And then I do this. And she was like describing moving in, you know, like this room is 4 feet by 4 feet large and the bed's vertical basically with the way she was describing it. And I was listening for like a solid minute before I was like, oh, you're exaggerating about this. And she's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, whoa, I did. And like, it's funny stuff like that when you are, you know, I feel like I'm a decently intelligent person, but I'll have situations like that where I just, you know, significantly misunderstand somebody because humans don't talk literally very, very often.
I have a few friends who are on the spectrum and it's been interesting to hear when they got diagnosed, especially women getting diagnosed later in life.
Later.
Oftentimes what they feel is relief. Sometimes it's a little bit of fear, but a lot of relief.
Oh yeah.
What came with your diagnosis for you?
Oh, it is completely relief because it was like, I remember when the doctor even said the first doctor I talked to, she was like, after you know multiple assessments and tests I met with her, she's like, hey, congratulations. And I had this whole panic attack, for lack of a better, like, or a panicking spiral where I was like, oh my gosh, it's not this. So me feeling different and thinking different and experiencing the world different, it is some unknown reason, or I'm just broken or whatever. And then, because, you know, your brain it works faster than words. So I went through that whole spiral and then she's like, oh, I definitely would diagnose you as someone on the spectrum. And then she's like, the reason I say congratulations, I was like, oh, you said congratulations. It threw me off. And she said, the reason I said congratulations is because I want you from day one to have, to not view it as like to be excited about learning more about yourself and how your brain operates. And that was, you know, something I'm super thankful for her and having that approach. And yeah, so it was like full relief, like I said, to where even even that situation with my mom, when she was like, oh, that makes sense, was like a relief of like, oh yeah, okay, now we have a words why this is happening. It's almost like, and it also helped with not looking at me as like, I am a person who has trouble functioning in the world as much as it is like, oh no, I'm just someone on the spectrum who has trouble operating in a world that is designed for people not. And so it's like, I'm not a normal person functioning wrong. I'm a neurotypical person functioning exactly as I should, exactly as my brain should. And so it was, a different operating system as opposed to a recognition of being on a different operating system. It's like, if you were to read a manual for how to operate a Mac and you have a PC, you're gonna be like, this Mac is broken. And rather than like, oh wait, it's not broken. It's just a PC and I've been looking at the wrong pamphlet.
I love the doctor, congratulations.
Yeah.
And then saying how exciting it is to learn more about yourself. I just think that applies to so many, all of us.
Yeah.
You know, you should be excited to learn more about you. I love it. I think that's really helpful.
Yeah, and why am I the way I am? It's a question all of us wonder, and you having answers to that is pretty beautiful. I am curious for people out there, what were some of the things people noticed about you on Big Brother that made them say, this might be something you want to look into?
I would say some of it was conversations. Like, they could see when I didn't pick up on someone saying, on certain moments of sarcasm or certain moments of someone saying like, hey, no, everything is okay here when it's not, like someone walking away from a situation like that. Taking certain things in literally from conversations and walking away and then having that interpretation, they'd be like, oh, I understand why he understood it that way. But because that's what they said, but that's not what they felt in that moment. And then some stemming stuff, some sensory stuff too. So like one of the categories usually in the pie chart is sensory, certain sensory issues or not issues, certain sensory things. And so I'm very fortunate. I don't have light and sound sensitivity. But I have a lot of smell and taste sensitivities. So I always thought I was just like a super picky eater, but it'd be very random and certain tastes that I would just have incredibly, like I would find incredibly like repulsive. And it's just, even in the Big Brother house, because it was COVID, they would sanitize all the food and all the groceries they'd bring us. And I would notice, I'm like, some of this tastes like soap or something. And no one else noticed it. And it just was because I had a hypersensitivity to whatever that soap taste was. So then I started like smelling food before I'd eat it. I'd smell like the packaging and I'd be like, oh, this has soap or whatever. And I'd find the ones that didn't have soap and I'd separate them, which resulted in a very funny like compilation video of me smelling things throughout the house. because I was there for like 3 months. So if I did it once a day, they have a lot of clips. So it's still a question I get asked today. It's like, why are you smelling everything? It's like, because it was, I didn't want to eat soap, all right? But it just was, and the sensory stuff, the sarcasm and literal conversations, and then there was some stimming stuff too that was happening. And it's funny because I'm the second person that happened to. It happened to Ian, who did 2 seasons, he was the winner of season 14, and people noticed and had commented and led him to go check. And then in our season, we had this girl, Brittany D'Angelo, who got diagnosed when she was, I think, 2 years old. And she, and her family, was somebody that was like watching, that was like, yeah, I saw and definitely noticed some things. But also just everyone's unique and everyone's different. And so it is interesting, too, the experience that you, like getting to talk to her, I can also see the pros and cons of getting that, of growing up with that
diagnosis. Yeah, so this is, it's the parallel of her knowing at 2-1 and you not knowing. So
yeah.
What were the differences?
I think she has a very positive, supportive family. So fortunately, they didn't really let it like hold her back in any way. I mean, she's a TikTok dance star. She's like something degree black, like one of the highest rankings of black belt in karate. Like she's about to go get her next belt from Chuck Norris, I think, or something. But it was just a, she's a little bit deeper in some of her, in some of like her hyper focus, some things that she hyper focuses on or special interests, around like Disney and around, and probably around dance and probably around other things that she has, because they were, her special interests were fostered in a way. Like special interest is a big thing.
That's a big thing on the spectrum.
On the spectrum. It's things that you can become super hyper focused on. And what happens is people will, you know, either classify as weird or classify, and that could be anything from, that's like where the stereotype of like, you know, they love trains or cars or something like that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it just gets dismissed as like a weird thing. But what her parents did, and what I think a lot of people who have become very self-sufficient autistic adults, is they have someone connect it to the world for them. So they'll have somebody like, okay, this is your special interest is Disney. So let's talk in terms of Disney.
Let's do a Disney podcast.
More than that, let's talk. Yeah. Let's use Disney examples to relate to why this interaction with your classmates.
In teaching
how you interact with the world. So I think that them having the ability to do that and was probably in so many ways beneficial. And then that's another thing, is there's a correlation that I've observed and have heard talked about a little bit around like positivity and optimism. It's funny because I actually have these Gary Vee shoes that say positivity and optimism on them everywhere, and that's like, I feel like how my brain is trained, but...
You are a very positive person, Kai. You're a very bright light.
But that's because it's, for me, it just makes sense. It's like, if, you know, sometimes people say like, oh, I'm not a pessimist, I'm a realist. And it's just like, well, like if you're a realist and you're taking in things as they are, then you would realize that most things are good. Because we watch the news and we say like, why are all the negative things in the news? It's like, well, because they're news, because they're not the norm. Most buildings aren't on fire. Most houses, you know, aren't falling apart, or most people aren't killing each other or whatever. That's why it's news, and because it's not normal.
And furthermore, news only makes money if it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah.
So it's, they make their money off of promoting as much fear and, you know, all, that's a whole other rabbit hole, but I love what you're saying. You're right. If you're a realist, it's, hey, I can walk.
Yeah, exactly.
I can see
all things. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. It absolutely serves you. Let's take a break though. Okay. When we come back, I want to talk more about this. Obviously we'll talk about, Big Brother a little more, and we got to talk Challenge, because I think that's another epic moment he had, that aired, last week. But all that and more on, Heel Squad with Maria Menounos. We'll be right back with Kylan Young.
This podcast and all related content published or distributed by or on behalf of Maria Menounos or MariaMenounos.com is for informational purposes only and may include information that is general in nature and that is not specific to you. Any information or opinions expressed or contained herein are not intended to serve as or replace medical advice, nor to diagnose, prescribe, or treat any disease, condition, illness, or injury, and you should consult the healthcare professional of your choice regarding all matters concerning your health, including before beginning any exercise, weight loss, or healthcare program. If you have or suspect you may have a healthcare emergency, please contact a qualified healthcare professional for treatment. Any information or opinions provided by a guest expert or host featured within website or on company's podcast are their own, not those of Maria Menounos or the company. Accordingly, Maria Menounos and the company cannot be responsible for any results or consequences or actions you may take based on information or opinions.
Well, that's it for today, Heel Squad. Before I let you go, I want to make sure you don't forget to take care of yourself today. I'll be making sure I'm not forgetting to get outside, do my meditations, and of course, keep myself fueled with some sweet, chili, wonderful pistachios. Wonderful pistachios, as you know, are my go-to when hunger strikes, because they're one of the highest protein nuts, providing all 9 essential amino acids, and they're great for on-the-go snacking. So when you're ready to elevate your snacking game, visit wonderfulpistachios.com to grab a bag.